Down.
Come on. There we go. Awesome. Hey, good morning. Good to see you. First off, if you weren't here at 8:45, you missed a great breakfast. And I want to thank those who cooked it. It was awesome. I tell you, if you were there, that we've been talking for the last couple weeks about the meatless bacon. That was it. So it tasted just like the normal bacon, didn't it? So, I'm kidding. That was full-on meat, bacon, pork at its finest, and yeah. Well, I get to just preach. I'm so excited. We got our kids with us, so it's going to be a little different, but different is good this morning, and our family has had different for the last, like, 26 days, and we officially moved again this week, so that was good, out of a hotel into an apartment, so we're feeling pretty good right now. Feels like a house, so that's pretty good. But I'm just going to preach. We're so excited for our Community Impact Day. If you were not prepared to go down there, don't you worry, because one of the things that we're doing as a church is we are blessing all the staff at the school down the road, and we are providing this little thing that's cool. It's like a pack, like a gift pack thing. Yes. And it's full of goodies, things that teachers need. And so we're going to be putting about 100 of those together today as well. So if you didn't plan on going down there, you can come and help out just here as well, as we want to just bless our neighbors down the road. But we're going to wrap up our series. We've been talking about I am, the different statements that Jesus declared about himself. And I hope you've been blessed. And so I'm going to the title of my message today is The Secret Sauce. You know, whenever you cook something good, you have that secret sauce that you, like, won't give to anyone. You won't tell anyone what the ingredient is. But it's what makes your smoked salmon, or what makes your pickle recipe, or what makes the meatless bacon that we enjoyed this morning. But the secret sauce, and I want to talk today about the secret sauce when it comes to our lives today. And we're going to look at the statements that Jesus made. So in context, you could turn to your Bible to John 15. And we, just like the disciples just took communion, And this is Jesus around the same time that he had his Last Supper with his disciples. And he's talking to them. And he knows what's about to happen, as Pastor Ryan said. But they kept saying, oh, Jesus, it's not going to happen. And Jesus is trying to do his best to prepare them. Like, guys, you don't realize, like, this is really going to happen. I'm really going to leave. And he has a deep desire, like a father would have, to feel confident before he gets arrested that his guys that he spent 3 years with, that they, like, got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can only imagine him going, like, guys, like, I know you haven't listened before because you just fell asleep, and I know this and I know that, but would you please just listen, because you're going to need this. And so his desire is that they would carry the torch, right? That they would continue to advance the gospel, but Jesus knowing in his heart about the difficulties that lie ahead. And so that's the context we find ourselves in this morning. So I'm going to start with verse 1 through verses 5 from John 15. And I'm reading today from the Passion Translation, because I love some of the Greek words that it used. And we'll get to that in a minute. It says this, Jesus, this is in red. So Jesus is talking. He says, I am the true vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. Verse 2, he cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning even fruitful branches to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. So there you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless. Unless you live your life intimately joined to mine, because I am the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. Come on, we're going to talk about the secret sauce this morning. We look at this verse, we look at this parable, we got to understand our roles. Okay, so we have three roles in this. Number one, the Father. Here's the Father God's role in this. He is the vine dresser. He is the master planner. Earlier this summer, we got to spend some time in Northern California with some pastors, and it was a wine country. And I am not a big wine country guy, but it was so neat to be a part of wine country. And the job of the master vine dresser of the orchard is to determine what type of fruit is going to grow best in the environment that their orchard exists. Okay, that was the job. So it would be a foolish vine dresser in the natural to try to grow fruit that isn't going to grow in the area that their orchard exists. Does that make sense? And so it's not like, oh, well, let's grow my favorite. No, you're going to grow the best fruit that is suitable for the environment that your orchard exists. And that's what Father God is. It's Father God wants to develop fruit in our lives that is best fruit, not for the fruit that we want to grow, but for the fruit that he's set aside and determined that he needs to grow in our life at that time. Okay. The second role is Jesus. Jesus is the vine. Okay, the vine is the source. He is where we get our DNA from. He is the root. And out of the root springs all of life. In fact, in 2 Peter, it says that everything that we have for life and godliness exists in the person of Jesus Christ. Everything, say everything. Everything we need is in Jesus. So he is the source, the DNA. We get to be image bearers and reflect what the root is doing. And here's our role. Are you ready? Drum roll for our role. Oh, kids are awesome. Branch. You are a branch.
Yeah.
You're a branch. I know it doesn't seem glamorous. In sixth grade, I was in a play, and I didn't want to be in the play, and I was wood nymph number two.
Wood nymph.
Green tights, and my job was to move a rock on the stage and off the stage. So you may feel like wood nymph number two. You are a branch. Let's talk about branches for a minute. Here is the number one role of a branch. You exist to bear fruit.
Yeah.
I'll say what else you are exist for. You exist to bear more fruit. As Christians, our life, and we know this, if you've walked with the Lord before, you know that our life is supposed to be different because of the relationship that we have with Jesus. And I think the question to all of us this morning is it? Is my life different because of my relationship to the source? Because here's what I know about apple trees. Apples, the branch of an apple tree bears apples because that is what is natural for an apple branch to do.
Yeah.
A normal Christian life should result in our life emulating the life of the Spirit because that's what Christians are supposed to do.
Yeah.
They are supposed to bear the fruit of the source. Okay, ducks quack, pigs oink, cows moo, and Christians bear fruit.
Yeah.
But the question is, do we? We bear fruit because we're connected to the source. So this scripture, here's the problem I have about this scripture, is it begs us to ask the question, what happens if we don't bear fruit? Right? You hear me this morning? What happens? Because you can't read that without going, well, what if I don't bear fruit? And then you look at the options. And I hope you caught the options because we're going to go over them in a minute. But it's like, well, this doesn't look like teddy bear Jesus that just wants to hug me. Like, I don't understand what's going on. So what happens when we don't bear fruit? You know, there's a lot of enemies of Christianity. Okay? There's a lot. I believe our culture can be an enemy of Christianity. I believe the enemy, the devil, the Bible says the devil is real, is an enemy to Christianity. But here's the deal. The devil gets way too much credit in our lives. Because I blame a lot of things on the devil when at the end of the day, it's probably just disobedience or bad fruit in my own life. And I'm like, oh, the devil! No. My obedience. My disobedience. So I don't want to give the devil more credit than he's due, because at the end of the day, the result and the idea is, what is the fruit that is going on or that is existent or non-existent in my life? So if you don't bear fruit, let's look at these options really quick this morning. This is what the Bible says. This is not what Justin says. But the Bible says this, talking about fruit and the fruit that exists in our life. The Bible says this. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. I'm putting my words on it. But it says this, that your weaknesses are propped up and put on display. So putting weaknesses on display is not something that loving Jesus would do, is it? Well, let's go back to our scripture. Right? Here's what the scripture says. He says that Jesus cares so much about your life mattering that he's not content just to focus on the things that you do well, because he wants to get your weaknesses to become your greatest strengths. Okay, so Jesus isn't just going to turn a blind eye to your weaknesses and go, oh, I'm going to focus on your strengths. No, because I believe God wants to use your weaknesses as an example for others to boast by. You getting that this morning? So Jesus doesn't turn an eye to our weaknesses. Okay? He wants your weaknesses to bear fruit. In your Bible, your word may say that he cuts off. And I want to look into that, because to cut off does not mean what you and I mean when we're like, hey, you're cut off from the family. No, it means this. The word is a word called iro, and it's a Greek word, and it's translated this. It's more accurately translated to the words lifts up. So when you read that scripture, it says he cuts off. One of the meanings is he lifts up the branches that are not bearing any fruit. And the example is back to the vineyards and back to the wine, when there was overgrowth and there was a lot of unfruitful grape or olive or whatever they're growing is on the ground and it's not bearing fruit. Before they would cut it down, they would take it and they would put the weaknesses and they would put the weak areas and they would prop them up off the ground so that they would begin to get the sunlight and would begin to bear fruit. And I believe many times that is what God wants to do in our life, is he wants to take those weaknesses and he may put your weaknesses on display. He may start shining his light on your weaknesses, not to make you feel bad about your weaknesses, because he wants to shine his light on those weaknesses so that they will become your strengths.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on, so he wants to lift you up. So he is going to put you in places where your weaknesses can't hide anymore. That's not a fun place to be, but it's a God place to be. Where you can't ignore your weaknesses any longer. You can't fake it till you make it. I wrote this down this week. It says, God doesn't want you to run from your weaknesses. He wants you to run to him so that he can put strength on your weaknesses. The second thing, if you're not bearing fruit in your life, this is what the Bible says. He says that the branch is pruned. Not period, comma. So that it will bear fruit.
Good.
Listen, we all go through seasons of pruning. Seasons that God is trying to get something in our hearts. His purpose in pruning is not to weaken you. It's not to expose you. It's not to make you look really funny, like a bad haircut that you got. Okay, the purpose of God's pruning on our lives is so that those areas would be fruitful.
Yep.
So that you will reap a better harvest. If you continue to look at the Greek meaning of that word, the cut away, it means to trim clean by lifting up. There's areas in our hearts that he wants to clean up. Will we allow the master pruner to prune? This is where I think it gets a little awkward, where we like to blame the enemy on things that are happening in our lives, when at the end of the day, could it be the Lord saying, I want you to bear more fruit in your life?
Good.
The third thing that the Bible says happens to branches that don't bear fruit, it says this. It says the branch will wither away and eventually will be thrown into the fire. All right, I'll take option one or option two that we just talked about. Okay, and what this speaks to is this speaks to the areas in our life that we have not allowed the Lord to prune. The areas of stubbornness, the areas of pride, the areas where we just said, God, I'll do it my way. You know, I believe we've all been given an opportunity, a season, a window of opportunity, and I think we've all missed windows of opportunity with the Lord. And I think in those moments where you've missed opportunities, it's, I think, time for you to stop reflecting on those things and allow God to grow a new growth where he wants to grow a new growth in your life, where he wants another arm or another branch of fruit to grow.
Come on.
And here's the last thing this morning. Man, I might preach this again next week. Okay, we talked about the withered ones. We talked about the ones that need to be lifted up. We talked about the unfruitful ones. But the Bible also says this, that there are times that even your greatest strengths, God may prune those. The areas in your life where you say, I'm fruitful in, I've mastered, I'm doing it. There's a season that God wants to even take those, and he wants to grow them into greater strengths in your life. And I think those are the moments that we really have to trust the Lord, because it's easy for me, somewhat easy for me to trust God when it's my weaknesses that he's... But what about the things that I've been proud of? The things that I've thought got me to where I am today?
Yeah.
My secret sauce. My, you know, the moneymaker. I like to joke, right? Don't hurt the moneymaker. Right, the thing that got me there. What about when God says, you may be reaping some success, but you have no idea what I want to do through that area of your life? What about when God wants to prune that area? Right, that's where in that whole abiding in him, the word abide means to make at home. Right, that's when that abiding in the branch, abiding in the vine. Listen, it's not just abiding in him, but here's what the scripture says, that he abides in us. So as he takes us through those different seasons, he is with us. He is fueling us. He is not just trimming. But again, he is like the master vine dresser that knows what the fruit should be and knows what your tomorrows look like. Listen, we can trust him. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
We can trust him. When we talk about fruit, fruit always implies seed, right? It is part of the fruit. Seed always has everything to do with reproduction. Meaning the fruit that exists in your life is meant to be reproduced in and through your life so that it would infect others around you.
Yep.
That's why we have fruit. That's why we're called to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, so that it will infect those who need to grow fruit in their lives. And that's why this is probably my favorite, I probably say that a lot, this is my favorite Sunday. This is probably my favorite Sunday of the year. Because we get to go and we get to bless some neighbors that I don't agree with everything they do. Hello. But I do want them to know that there is a church down the road that is praying for them, that is there for them, and that that wants to support the work that they're doing. Amen?
Yeah.
So, close your eyes. We're going to pray. And then, that's our morning. But I want to, again, just invite all of you to come down the road. We're going to have a good time. But let's pray, and then we will dismiss this morning. Father, I thank you that you are the vine, that we are your branches. Father, I pray for everyone in here this morning, Father, that we would be connected to you. Father, that even in this season of summer is ending, that we would truly learn what it means to abide in you. Father, when we look at fruit in our lives, God, we know that you want us to produce good fruit in our lives even more than we want to produce good fruit. And so, Father, I just ask, Father, for everyone in this room, Father, if there's weaknesses, Father, would you prop those weaknesses up, Father, so that your sun light, so that your word can shine on those things, Father, and that we would begin to see weaknesses become strengths. Father, even in the pruning process, God, it is hard to say come, but Father, would you come, Father, and would you make us what you need us to be so that we can bear the fruit that you've desired for us to walk in. Father, we trust in you. Father, forgive us for where we've allowed places in our heart to be dry, to be withered, to be not useful for you. Father, would you sprout new things? Father, out of those things that maybe seem dead or seem gone or seem just completely wasted, Father, would you sprout new life today? And we honor you. God, thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's what we've got this Sunday. We'll see you next week and hopefully see you down there. Again, if you're going to stay, Lynette Kraft, they're going to be in the annex putting some cool gifts together. So God bless you, and we're going to have some fun.
Yep.
All right, you're released.